Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 20th, 2020. 6 days to Thanksgiving. A Thanksgiving unlike any other Thanksgiving you may have experienced. We're in these kind of crazy times, but we have God's Word as a rock, as a reference, as a manual, as a help, as a love letter, as a directive, precepts that he's given us to know him better, to know how his world works, to know his personality, to know that he loves us and cares for us, that he's cared for us from even before the beginning of time, I guess you could say from all eternity. God's been around, he's sovereign, he's good, he's gracious, and this book of James that we're going to be reading and talking about today hopefully will be used of God to touch both Jason and I and you as well. But first, a few little announcements before we look at James, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. But a special friend will be our Memorization Monday teacher. It's Bob Dickey. Actually, I think it was about 75 weeks earlier. He was the very first one that helped us look at Genesis 1:1. Well, on Monday, he's going to help us look at Romans 1:16, which is probably a favorite or known by many of you. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And so Bob will take us through that and give us an update on his faith journey, and maybe we'll even keep him over for Testimony Tuesday. But he has a lot to share, and I know he loves the book of Romans. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to have a special two-day broadcast called Remembering the Pilgrims, produced by the Moody Broadcasting Network. So that'll be on the Wednesday and Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. So listen in for that favorite. And then the day after Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving weekend, we introduce you to some of the Christmas selections you'll be hearing in the days ahead. So that'll be beginning next Friday. And then really through the end of the year, we'll be interspersing and including more and more Christmas music as we head into December. And then Christmas music really from December on, with just a few exceptions. Sometimes gospel greats or homecoming radio, they don't transition to Christmas music till closer to Christmas. But on the Great News Radio Network, you'll hear lots of Christmas music beginning all Thanksgiving weekend. And then as an FYI for those of you in and around the Springfield area, on December 8th, Portillo's is coming to Springfield. And so I met with them on Wednesday, some people from the corporate office. Actually, Portillo's started in Illinois, but they're in Arizona, they're in Indiana, Illinois, and some of the Midwestern states. And I met with one of their corporate representatives on Wednesday and recorded a few little radio announcements. So we'll be giving away some Portillo hot dogs and gift cards and some other things in the days ahead. But there's a new Portillo's coming to Springfield on December 8th. So we'll tell you more about that in the coming days and have some giveaways. But I have my little I Love Portillo's sticker here in the studio. But it was kind of fun to meet someone and talk about their restaurant and what they hope to accomplish and what they're doing. And I said, what can you do for our listeners? How can you encourage them and bless them? So we're going to work out some gift cards in the coming days. Anyways, that's a little update on the happenings with this radio ministry. But James chapter 2 begins by saying, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? This is James chapter 2, and those were verses 1 through 4. So Jason, what do you think about our glorious Lord Jesus Christ and then the fact that we do all have a tendency to show some preference or favoritism or, oh, look what I could maybe get out of this person that's wealthier or in the in crowd or whatever. Isn't that a tendency? We do show favoritism.
Well, we do. I mean, tribalism is natural to who we are. I mean, we like to hang around with people who we like. We like to have conversations with people who are like us or who believe things that are very much like us. In fact, we've even gotten to this heightened point today in the world where that is even more prevalent, where, you know, we just want to be with people who agree with what we say because it makes life easier. Mm-hmm. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel like we're right because we surround ourselves with people who lift us up and say, well, yeah, you're right, man. Yeah, I agree with you. And the problem is, well, at least one of the problems from a societal look at this is that the way ideas are formed and the way we grow in our understanding of things is when we get around people who don't agree with mm-hmm. us, when we get around people who have different thoughts and different ideas. Those spur us towards other ideas. Those help us grow, and they shape who we are. They challenge our notions about what reality really is. But it's interesting, you know, James, he's done this now a few times. Remember in verse 19, he says, know this, my beloved brothers. And earlier he said, brothers, in verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, is that James is talking to fellow Christians. He's talking to people of the faith. He's talking to people who he puts his arms around and say, you are my brothers, not my brothers in this kind of journey through the world, not even my brothers within the church, but my brothers in Christ. And so there's an elevated sense when he says, my brothers, you know, that he's reaching out to them, and he's reaching out to those who may be struggling with this and trying to say, listen, we're together, but there are still some issues. Because here's the thing. If you have a really good friend, if you have somebody who you really liked hanging around with and you guys really click and you guys spend lots of time together and that person never challenges you on anything, I would question that relationship. And, you know, I would look at that and say, hey, you know, are we just surrounding ourselves with yes people? We need people in our lives who love us enough to tell us when we're wrong. We need people in our lives who love us enough to challenge our stinking thinking because they care enough about who we are and what we are that they want to say, wait a second, you know, let's pause for a minute. Why do you think that? Why do you keep saying that? Why is it that you do that? And so that's what James is doing. He says, my brothers, he's saying, I love you. But we got to talk about this. And he says, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Now, I actually want to address the end of the verse before I address the middle of the verse. We already discussed my brothers, but I want to address the end before the middle, because the end really is important. Because the Lord of glory, when James says this, he's affirming that Jesus Christ is God. He's elevating for them in the language who Jesus is. He's elevating what their character and their integrity and how they act and live and move in the world needs to be. Not to the world's standard, not even to the standard of what they think is good and right, but to the standard of what Christ says is good and right. You know, and that's why, remember when Jesus walked the earth, what did he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We love to say seek first the kingdom of God, but we don't always include and his righteousness, because his righteousness means we have to then do what he says is right, not what we think is right. And sometimes we think it's enough just to say we're seeking the kingdom by meaning, you know, well, I'm a Christian. No. In order to be a Christian, to be defined as a Christian, then you need to do as Christ commands. That's what defines you as a Christian. And what he says is right and good. And so James is elevating this by saying, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Now, the end part, you might think, well, that's just some good flowery language right there, right? I mean, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, but man, he's the Lord of glory. For James' listeners, this would tell them just exactly who Jesus is, right? Because remember back in the book of Isaiah, what did God say in Isaiah? I will not share my glory with any other. And so by God saying that in Isaiah, he's saying, listen, the glory that I have, this glory, it will not be shared with another. And so that means that Jesus is not sharing in the glory of God. Jesus displays the glory of God because Jesus is God. And that's important because for us, it sounds like good flowery language. But for a first century Jewish convert, to becoming a follower of Jesus, this would have huge amount of weight. There would be a lot going on when you heard this. When they heard this, they would say, oh, my gosh, glory, you mean kavod? You mean the thing that Moses was told he couldn't even look upon because it was so amazing? You know, that when that glory fell upon the tabernacle at the end of the book of Exodus, we could not even Moses, the intercessor of Israel, let alone the people, could enter into the gates of the tabernacle because of the glory of the Lord. That's the same glory that Jesus Christ has.
Hmm.
You know, that it was dangerous to approach that glory, that glory was the unfiltered, unfettered presence of God. I mean, so for a first century Jew, they would be like, whoa. Hmm. And the kind, it's the kind of whoa, that, you know, it's not like the kind of whoa, I got to get back to what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's the kind of whoa that destroys the things you thought were right, the things you thought were good, the things you thought you should be doing. And that's why James puts this in there. Because there is a real problem that is popping up in the church. And this is really interesting. It's a problem that we have in the church today. You know, when a new church opens up, when there's a church planting, or even when churches begin to kind of reach out into the community to broadcast things they're doing, churches are always targeting demographics. You know, in Muhammad, churches love to target the parents with kids. Look at what we're doing for the kids over here, and we've got Awana, and look at this children's program, and we're doing Bible camp during the summer, and a large amount of what the churches put out says a lot about who they're trying to reach. Now, I think that's good and right because we want to build up the next generation. But shouldn't the message that goes out into a community, bring the kids to Bible camp, shouldn't there be another message that goes out and says, senior saints, by the way, you need to get into a Bible study, get into church, and by the way, unwed mothers, and by the way, those people of color, and by the way, those people who are immigrants who are visiting our country, because God shows no partiality. You know, the problem when we target one kind of demographic is that that's what suddenly begins to kind of fill up into our church. So we get that one kind of demographic, and it goes counter to what God says the church is supposed to be, because when the world looks at the church should be baffling. The church should be the one place where the world looks and go, how can all those different kinds of people from different economic brackets, from different experiences, different stations in life, different social statuses, different races and ethnicities, how are they all getting along?
Hmm.
How are they all in one building singing to the glory of God? I mean, you get that many different kinds of people in one room, and it should be like an iron cage match.
Oh, jeez.
It should be all kinds of people arguing about all kinds of things, about who's right, who's wrong. You don't know where I've been. You don't understand. And listen, right now we see that dichotomy, right? Because we see around race, and we see around ethnicity, and we see around social status, and we see all that. When we watch the news, all that in the world, what is it? It is division. It is confrontation. There are heightened tensions around it. And so what would it look like if inside the church, you know, as the world looks inside the church, they go, wait a second. When we get all these people from different economic, social statuses, experiences, you know, stations in life, ethnicities, religion, when we get these people out in the world, they're at each other's throats.
Mm.
But when we look in the doors of the church, they're singing, how great is our God. They're praying together. They're shaking hands at the beginning of the service. They're greeting one another. They're joyful to be with each other. Why is there such a difference between what's happening out here in the world and what's happening inside the church?
Mm.
And that's what you get when you look at Jesus' disciples, right? Jesus' disciples were a crazy bunch of people who were from all different kinds of social statuses. Listen, you had in Jesus' disciples a leader of the zealots and a tax collector. So you had a guy whose mission in life was to hate the tax collector, and then you had the tax collector whose mission in life was to serve the Roman Empire and Jewish leadership and collect taxes from the Jewish citizens, and Jesus put them in a room together and made them sleep next to each other.
Hmm.
Jesus made them share life together. And sometimes I think we look at the disciples and we're like, look at Jesus' band of merry men. No. These guys had such ideological differences with one another that there had to be a lot of kind of awkward and difficult moments that Scripture doesn't capture for us because they're human, where it was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. And so James wants to address the sin of partiality because the church is not supposed to look like the world. The church is not supposed to discriminate. In fact, God says in Revelation, when he's bringing all things back together and making all things new and perfect and good, he says every tribe, nation, and tongue will worship me on this mountain. Hmm. That when sin is eradicated from the world and King Jesus stands, that every tribe, nation, and tongue will worship together, that there will be no division and no partiality. When it comes to partiality and it comes to discrimination, one of my favorite places in the Bible is the first chapter of Romans. Hmm. And I'm just going to read a little bit for you because it really is interesting. Paul's writing to Roman Christians here, and he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. So he's like, man, I just love you guys. I'm so thankful for you. He says, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. So the message of, you know, Rome was kind of the center of the world. Everything that came out of Rome shaped the world, whether it was music or it was writings, military, whatever it was. Rome had its footprint all over the world. And so as Christianity was growing in the Roman Empire, that too was filtering out into the world. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers. Paul says, I pray for you. I can't believe how your witness is going out into the world, and I pray that it does it more and more. Asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For as long as I see you, I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So he lifts them up. He says, listen, your witness, the way you're growing, the things that God is doing, it's amazing. I can't wait till I can come and spend some time with you because I think that you guys are going to encourage me. I think as you think I'll encourage you, you're going to encourage me. So he's lifting them up, right? Mm-hmm. He's saying, man, you guys are killer Christians.
Huh.
Then he says this, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest amongst you as well as amongst the rest of the Gentiles. So now all of a sudden Paul goes, listen, by the way, we're going to invite some Gentiles into the party. You know why? Because that's the gospel mission of the church. The church is to invite some people who don't believe in that they might believe and see the beauty of what the church looks like, to see all that they've heard about. Listen, they keep hearing about it, but you need to invite them in to see it, to be baffled by the fact that all these different people, this diversity of people, is gathered around one beautiful thing called Jesus. And so right away, after saying all these things, I've heard about your, I can't believe what God is doing amongst you. It's so amazing. The world is hearing about what you're doing. I want to come to you so you can encourage me and I can encourage you. And by the way, we should invite some Gentiles to the party. And then Paul, because this is just how Paul is, Paul goes, by the way, in verse 14 of Romans 1, I'm under obligation to both the Greeks and the barbarians.
Hmm.
So he says, listen, we're going to invite some Gentiles to the party. We ought to get some Greeks, too. And guess what? How about some barbarians? Now, listen, in Paul's day, in the day that this was written, you didn't like to invite barbarians to the party. They were considered to be a wild kind of people. They were considered to be outside the bubble. They were considered to be the, not just the people who lived on the wrong side of town, but they embodied everything that was about the wrong side of town. And Paul says, listen, I'm under obligation to the Greeks and the barbarians, so we better invite them too. And then he says, both the wise and the foolish. And in Rome, they love to pride themselves on their wisdom. They love to pride themselves on how well they thought and acted and did things. Then he says, you know, we got to get some Gentiles. How about some Greeks? Don't forget the barbarians. And listen, we need wise people. That's good. But let's get some foolish ones also.
Hmm.
And he says, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So he says, listen, I can't wait to preach the gospel to you, but I'm also real excited about those barbarians, those Gentiles, the foolish, the wise, the Greeks. We need to get a whole party going. Why? Because God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. Jesus came to die for all, not just some. I love how in Acts 10, when Peter preaches to the Gentiles, it says, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Now, what is right? Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not what's right, like, oh, you did a good thing today, Johnny. No, no, no. What's right is his righteousness, because he is the Lord of glory. I will not share my glory with any other. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of God, but he is God himself. And so we need to understand that God doesn't discriminate. If God discriminated, then we're all in real trouble. Because discrimination is not just white, black, brown, you know. Discrimination at its worst is anybody who's different than you. Hmm. And all of us are different than the perfection, the perfect glory of God. And yet God decided to manifest that glory in the person of Jesus Christ, and not just to manifest that, but to take that to the cross and to have Jesus shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And not just that, but to die a heinous death. And not just that, but to be resurrected on the third day. And not just that, but to ascend to heaven and send, as he promised, his Holy Spirit, that we might actually have a shot at doing the things he told us to do. God shows no partiality, and therefore we ought not to do that either.
And I'm thinking that verse, while we were yet sinners, it wasn't that we were good or rich or wealthy or well-connected or great people. He died when we are at our worst, which is just mm-hmm. incredible. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. The truth that should be on our minds and hearts in this divisive world, as we're trying to reach out and love and show the fragrance and the love of God, as we try to extend care and compassion. Yeah, it's easy to do it to your friends or the neighbors or the people that are in your tribe that you get along with, but how are you extending that same God-inspired love to those that are different from you, that have a different point of view, a different political party, a different status, whatever it is? God clearly teaches all of us that we're not to show favoritism and that we're to proclaim the message where we're all on level ground and God loves each and every person. So if you have some different things that you need to confess, sit and spend some time with the Lord to have him expose those maybe racist tendencies or whatever separates you from somebody else, and confess those, ask God to work through you to bring healing and hope, and get right with God, and that'll help you get right with those around you. Because as the scriptures say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for going through this book of James with us. We'll continue in the weeks and months and years ahead. We'll see. It's a great book. God has something for all of us to learn. And today, may we learn to not show favoritism and to really favor all those that God favors. And that's everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.